First, the week in rural news with Tony Allen. And Tony, a really interesting survey done in Queensland this week about just how bad the drought is.
Yes, there's almost an interstate blue about who's got the worst drought. And this week, the Queensland Rural Lobby Group AgForce released a survey of its members suggesting that most of them won't be able to make a profit from their farms this decade because of the current drought gripping the state. They say it's the worst in living memory. 80% of Queensland is officially in drought now. And AgForce Policy Director Lauren Hewitt says she wants the federal government financial assistance redesigned so that most in need of it get better access to it.
The data is imperative for government to see and understand that these packages are not working. We've been in there for the last year and a half saying and telling them that our membership were telling us that these packages are not hitting the mark. This survey data really does highlight that, and it's not us making it up. It's coming right across Queensland.
There's also a lot of concern in South Australia about the nature of funding and loans, and also about whether anyone's actually paying them any attention.
Yes, in South Australia, the farmers are waving their arms around saying, what about me? What about me? What about our drought? They've had 31 months of severe rainfall deficiencies in parts of the state, particularly the southeast. And very few farmers in South Australia have been able to qualify under the current drought aid criteria. So they're saying they're being overlooked by the media, they're being overlooked by the decision makers. One farmer we spoke to says his colleagues weren't being taken seriously, even though they had been hit as hard as Queensland.
I do find it frustrating that the focus is on areas that potentially are in low rainfall areas to begin with. They receive minimal to no rainfall, and everyone screams, drought, 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 quick, get here as quick as we can and help. But someone that's in a medium to high rainfall, when we receive low rainfall, it's looked upon in a completely different light. Economically, I don't see any difference whatsoever.
To other news now, and there's some concern about high beef prices.
Well, this is partly related to the drought in Queensland and northern New South Wales, because there is a shortage of cattle in some areas, and it's mainly due, though, to great demand for Australian beef overseas, partly because people trust Australian beef as being clean and healthy. One beef distributor, Roger Oakden, had to lay off workers recently because he wasn't making much profit because people just weren't prepared to pay enough. That's not just consumers in the supermarkets, it's the whole supply chain. He says he was forced to increase his beef prices recently by up to 40%.
In a 10-day period just recently, prices have never moved like that. Even the wholesalers, the big mobs, are saying they've never seen it move like that, you know, ever.
Have you ever seen anything like it?
Never. 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 Not these prices.
Another revelation this week of abuse of cattle, Australian cattle in Vietnam.
Yes, the organisation Animals Australia released footage of what it said was cattle being killed with sledgehammers in Vietnam. Now, the Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce, says his department already had three investigations underway into this sort of allegation after the live exporters themselves reported breaches of the SCAS welfare system in Vietnam back in March. Now, it's not clear whether the Animals Australia footage relates to those incidents, and Mr Joyce says Animals Australia should reveal when it obtained the footage of cattle. The government is being quite steadfast in saying we're not going to shut the trade down, we're going to keep it going and just deal with breaches as they come up. He says the industry reported the problem about this sledgehammer business, so that shows the system is working.
The question also has to be asked of Animals Australia. I imagine they've known about it since March. Do they release things for humanitarian effect or for media effect? We knew about this because the industry itself has reported on it, and we are making sure that our investigations go through the proper process, and if prosecutions need to take place, they will.
However, the RSPCA, through its chief vet, Dr. Bitter Jones, says the government should suspend the trade to Vietnam until the issue is resolved.
The exporters themselves know that there's a problem. They have identified the problem. What concerns us is that with all of that evidence, why hasn't the government taken action to stem the supply? At the moment, animals are being lost from the supply chain, yet they are still being shipped to Vietnam on a weekly basis.
Now, the cattle producers who send the cattle to Vietnam are obviously worried about this. They say it's not a good look for the industry, but they are pleased the government's going to keep the trade going. One of them is Murray Gray, a pastoralist from the Pilbara in Western Australia. He sends 40% of his cattle to Vietnam.
We're very concerned to hear of any mistreatment, but there's a zero tolerance now from exporters or from Australia to anything like that happening. And if it is true, there's been a breach of SCAS protocol, then those importers will be scratched straight off the import list and won't be receiving Australian cattle again.
Now, for many years, we had ongoing stories about the collapse of managed investment schemes. That saga is not yet over.
No, about 50 investors in the failed TimberCorp managed investment scheme are facing bankruptcy now. The liquidators are trying to call in the debt. More than 14,000 investors lost millions when TimberCorp managed investment schemes collapsed in 2009. They were selling products like olives, almonds and timber plantations. Now, there were 2,500 loans still on the TimberCorp Finance's loan books. They owe a total of $380 million because of late payment penalties, and a number of the investors who haven't kept up with their payments are now in deep trouble. And, of course, they got very little for their money. And lawyer Mark Walter is running a test case, and he says there are both small and large investors being pursued by the liquidators.
It's a bitter pill for the investors who have no chance of ever getting anything out of TimberCorp in the future, and if being made bankrupt, unlikely to have any assets to meet any debt. It looks like an exercise in futility.
There was also a lot of discussion about cost cutting from the federal budget, and one element of it that has been picked up on is seatbelts in school buses.
Yes, $1 million was chopped off the budget for a seatbelt program, which was aimed at putting seatbelts on regional school buses around Australia. It was simply a cost cutting measure. The program will now stop, and the government says it's no longer assisting road safety. Most states are sorted out, and it merely puts money in the pockets of the private operators who would have fitted the seatbelts anyway, because it is the law now. But Glenda Staniford from a national lobby group Built Up for Safety Action is furious, saying there are still 500 buses in New South Wales that need this federal funding for seatbelts.
So I know of siblings on the same bus. One was thrown about 30 metres through the front window. You know, this budget, they're saying have a go, but they're having a go at children's safety, and I'm just appalled that children's safety is given such a low priority.
Now, interesting news out of Queensland. We could be looking at an oil refinery to be built, the first new one in some time.
There's been a bit of concern over recent years about oil refineries closing down in Australia, and we're pretty dependent on places like Singapore now for our petrol and diesel. Well, there were preliminary studies announced this week by Brisbane's Casper Energy and Eagle Ford Oil and Gas from the US about building a new oil refinery at Gladstone in central Queensland. They say it could be built within 4 years. It's not confirmed yet. If it was built, it would be the first new oil refinery in Australia in 50 years. And Duncan McKenzie from Casper Energy says if this refinery, which would cost $870 million, does go ahead, it's going to produce diesel and premium petroleum.
The existing Australian refineries, they're all sort of 50-plus years. They were all designed for the market of the time, so they're quite gasoline-centric, whereas the modern Australian market is swung towards diesel.
Now, we've talked a lot about the demand for organic food and organic meats in particular, but there could be a pretty big stumbling block to producing enough of it.
There's a big problem with a shortage of organic grain, which you use to feed the organic livestock, like chickens and dairy cows and so on, and beef cattle as well. Quentin Kennedy of Kyala Pure Foods, which is an organic grain producer, has put a submission into the organic standards body to allow some grain that's fed to organic chickens and dairy cows to come from farms that aren't fully organically certified but are in the process of converting to full organic. And he says this could make things a fair bit easier. It's quite a problem because there's not only the grain itself, some of which is consumed by humans as organic food, but you have to feed organic grain to livestock, of course, or you can't claim your produce is organic. Mr. Kennedy says organic grain demand in Australia is easily outstripping the production both for stock feed and for human consumption.
obviously it drives prices up, and that's great for the farmers, and it encourages more people into organics. But there is a certain level where the consumer will not buy, and we're probably not far off that in some cases at the moment.
And there's a big export market too for the organic produce, so it's a pretty important issue.
There is. There's a good feature online about it too at abc.net.au/rural. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.